said there was this word, is it Thursday? Candace couldn't be here today. And Muffet's still a little bit under the weather, so she didn't feel like she could sing and do a good job, so I'm gonna come and sing the bad job she would have done.
No, we're gonna have a good time. Let's see if everybody remembers this one. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saves a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Oh, just sing it with me. Yeah, that's good. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when consider all those thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displays. And sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. Thou art, how great thou art. It sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Too many songs of the 20th century, huh? I tell you.
But they're still powerful. Hymns you get. They always last. They outlast these contemporary songs. You can always. That's very meaningful. How great they are. What a worship.
Right. Now I know why I did this. God, I was reading Revelations, and then God just kept putting me back and forth. And okay, God says, starts with the Bible, in the beginning, God. But how does he end it, talking about grace, and you sang about grace? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. That's how important grace is. He ends the whole written word of God with grace.
Amen. Amen. I tell you, it's the grace of God that he even created this world, right?
Amen.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I wouldn't stand him over with a stick saying, you better do it, you know? He did it of his own accord, you know? He didn't pay any attention to me. I wasn't even around, was I? You know, it's just, it's truly amazing.
Oh, yes.
We were talking, seemed like it was yesterday, I guess. You know, we were talking to one of our Chinese friends, and so she was trying to tell us what these Chinese characters were on this poster thing. And she says, happiness, prosperity, she kept searching for how to get that Chinese concept, you know, over to English words, because it was more than just one English word, you know. And I said, oh, it's like shalom. Y'all know the word shalom? Everybody know that? Shalom? Shalom. Y'all heard that before? Everybody's heard that before, right? It's a Jewish word, right?
Yeah.
Well, shalom is most often translated peace. Right? But shalom means much more than that.
Yes.
Yeah. It means much more than that. It means wealth, health, prosperity. I mean, just peace, you know, everything that goes into having a good life is shalom.
Everything fixed, nothing broken.
Yeah, everything. Oh, there you go. That's a good one. That's a good one. So it's hard to get the concept of shalom into English. You know, one word just doesn't make it. You know, one word just, okay, one English word. We don't have an English word that does everything that shalom does. You know, a phrase like that helps, you know. But it's like, if you have, you know, all your health and you have all your prosperity and you're not at war with your enemies and you're not afraid of someone coming in and all these things all go into being shalom, you know.
Man.
And so when we read in these letters, when they start the letters, what do they usually say? Grace and peace be unto you. Yeah, great. Multiply it to you. Multiply it to you. Well, when they said peace, of course we get it in the Greek, or from the Greek into the English, it's peace, right? But these were Jews. What were they writing? What were they thinking when they said peace be unto you? We said shalom. Shalom. Not just peace to you, but shalom to you. Isn't that cool? That's been cool. I like that.
Our form, because it's my peace I give unto you.
That's right.
So it's his peace.
Yeah. Some churches have a passing of the peace, exchanging of the peace. You know, they have a special time when they, you know, wish peace upon each other.
Oh, I never heard of that.
You ever heard of that?
Uh-uh.
Yeah, they do that in, I know they've done it in Episcopal churches, because I've been in there when they've done that. And mm-hmm. They probably did it in some
we
others.
We can learn from that.
Yeah, they just have a time and they stop and say, okay, everybody, you know, pass the peace time. And so you turn around and say, peace to you and peace to you. And, you know, of course, you talk to, but it's kind of like a greet the visitors around you or whatever, you know, but you greet everybody, yeah. Just say peace to you. There's power in words. There's power in words.
Power.
Peace to you, David.
Yes.
Power.
Peace to you.
Especially
shalom
when
to
you've got a deep meaning of it.
Peace to you, Mary. Peace to you.
Shalom
to you.
Amen. Thank you,
there
Lord.
Peace. There's power in our words.
Yes.
We speak our words.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory.
There's actually power in those words.
Amen.
You know, I'm a scientist. Okay, I'm a physicist now, and I'm just a physicist. Okay, I'm hard science. I'm not this flaky stuff, you know.
You gotta have that fact.
but they've done studies, and y'all heard about these studies, you know, where they take a couple of plants, you know, or a whole series of plants actually in one study, and they would have people come in, and they would speak bad. Angrily to these plants.
Mm-hmm.
And then come over here, these plants over here, speak softly, encourage. Well, these plants would thrive. These plants would wilt. And they would not thrive. You know. And you hear about these studies, you're going, you know. But, you know, they've done these studies. You know, it's like the words that we speak have power.
That's right.
The words that we speak have power. Yes, we can build people up or we can tear them down.
Amen.
With our words. So we need to speak words of peace, encouragement to one another, right?
And we tear our nation down with our words a lot.
We tear
our, leaders,
our nation
oh,
down.
Mm-hmm. Our
yeah.
leaders in our nation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know,
exactly.
The New Testament says, you know, pray for those who are over you.
Build them up.
Build them up. Pray for them.
All of them.
Kenneth Copeland's.
Yeah.
You know, his forecast for this, you know, this year is, he said that you should watch what you say, like Nancy Pelosi and people like that, to get a picture of them and realize that they're just like anybody else. They need Jesus. Not that they don't have Jesus. They just like Trump needs Jesus. We need Jesus. And we should pray for them and see them and speak goodness and not just criticize and don't like and don't like.
Right.
See, we're tearing down.
Yeah.
Instead of building up.
We need to pray for wisdom for our leaders.
And then we can
godly wisdom.
And then we can pray in the Spirit, and we'll pray in God's perfect will. We're not speaking negative.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You, I mean, whoever your leader is, you speak wisdom for them. You pray for them.
Yes.
Wish good for them.
Right.
Right? And so that you can live a good life, a peaceful life, you know, a calm life. That's what the New Testament tells us. You know, say, hey,
I have
look.
No doubt that Nancy Pelosi loves the Lord. I mean, I have no doubt about that. I've known that. He mentioned when Bush died how she did the sign of the cross. In his prophecy. But I knew that. I knew that woman was godly. She just, you know, some just like anybody else, she's got places to grow. She needs Jesus. Just like I need Jesus.
Well, we all got our strength, areas of strength where we know the truth. We got areas of not so strong weaknesses where we don't know the truth. And so it's, always a process of growth.
Yes.
Always a process. That's why we have to always be constantly learning.
Yes.
Yeah.
Bringing in new things.
Yes.
Right? Why do we need to do Bible study? Mm-hmm. You know, I was looking at something just this morning. You know, why do we need to do Bible study? Why is it so important to do Bible study? You know, the New Testament Christians didn't have a Bible. For the most part, they couldn't read.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, why do we need to do Bible study? And they, you know, they didn't do a Bible study.
Well, they did do Bible study. They didn't have all of the scriptures of the Bible, of what we did have. But we got to realize half of what Paul wrote in the Old Testament, I mean the New Testament, he was speaking from the Old Testament.
That is true.
And they were taught the things that the apostle had gotten from the Lord as far as the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But compiled it all together as a Bible.
They had the letters too.
Yeah, they had the letters circulating. They had the apostles working in their behalf to train and teach them. They didn't have all 66 books like we did, but the apostles did a very good job. Because some of them, like they said, they ate with the Lord. They, you know, and Paul said, I got it by revelation. You know, I know this is what he's saying, you know. So they had living epistles.
Yes.
That's the reason Paul said, we've got to become living epistles. But you're not going to always have a Bible in your hand. But you can be living epistles read of every man.
Yeah. And they would assemble themselves together like in Corinthians, and one would have a word, one would have a prophecy, one would speak, one would interpret.
And they relied on the Holy Spirit so much.
They were praying at the time too, and the Holy Spirit spoke and told separate me Paul and Barnabas for the ministry. And it, plus it just pushed you together. I mean, don't you know how much we love each other in this room?
Mm-hmm.
Not that we don't love everybody with God's love, we do, but you know what, in your soulish part, I'm so close to everyone in this room, and I thank God.
I thank God for Mira. I tell her that all the time. I know she can tag.
No, I don't ever get tagged.
But
uplifted.
The Holy Spirit really, and they relied on Him more than we do.
Yes.
We don't rely on him as much as they, that's what they had. Mm-hmm. And yeah. they stewarded it well, because either they was going to a prayer meeting or coming from a prayer meeting, mm-hmm. going from that. They stewarded what they had well, yeah. and they did some amazing thing. We got all 66 books, and our shadow don't heal nobody.
Amen.
I mean.
Preach it.
Okay, y'all making me go into my lesson. Let me back out. Okay. Go ahead, Greg.
Actually. Actually, this is some of what I was going to teach about today. So I was just letting y'all go because this is what I was going to talk about today. And I do want to bring this out because, you know, I'm talking about, of course, the New Covenant, all right?
Okay.
And so let me just read here. It says that, here's some questions I came up with. How did the early Christians receive assurance of salvation? You don't have to answer. Just think about this for a moment, you know. How did the early Christians receive assurance of salvation? How did the early Christians know that Jesus had gone back to be with the Father? It's not even mentioned in some of the Gospels that he ascended back to the Father. Matthew doesn't talk about it. How did the early Christians know that Jesus would always be with them? Right? You remember in the Great Commission, he says, "And lo, I am with you always." Right? But if you didn't have Matthew, if Matthew hadn't written that yet, right? Or you just had one of the other Gospels, you didn't have Matthew, how would you know that? Did you know that in Matthew, the ascension is not mentioned? Neither is the giving of the Holy Spirit mentioned. So how would you know these things? They had to learn these things from the evangelist mm-hmm. or the apostle who came and told them the good news of the kingdom. Mm-hmm. He told them this, right? It wasn't written down necessarily until they wrote it down in, you know, in the letters of the Gospels because they didn't have a complete New Testament. The only assurance they had of salvation was the fact that they were doing better things than they were before.
That's good, right?
Things that please God.
That's good, right?
Yes.
Right?
It was a difference.
The seal of salvation for them then is the same as it is now.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit. He is our seal.
Amen.
He is our seal. Assurance of salvation comes with a manifestation of the Holy Spirit within us.
That's good.
Right? The manifestation of the Holy Spirit within us tells us, oh, that didn't come from me. Where'd that come from? I wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't have said that. That must be the Holy Spirit. That must have been, what, me? My flesh would do something different. But the Holy Spirit's working in me. And I see him manifesting. That means I must be saved. If I got the Holy Spirit, I must be saved. I'm assured of salvation. He's my seal. So how did the Holy Spirit manifest in the first century AD to those early Christians? How did he manifest?
What? Tongues.
He would guide
them. Tongues? Yeah.
Tongues, yeah.
What?
He would guide them.
Got them? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Charisma, the gifts, mm-hmm. all right, and the fruit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right?
Fruit,
you can see the fruit.
The fruit.
Hey, a changed life, that's a miracle. I mean, you know, I mean, when one of these terrible sinners, you know, that's in the community gets saved, man, he gets totally changed. And everybody's eyebrows go up and say, hey, did you hear about Joe? He used to be the worst drunk in this community. Now, man, he's doing great. Yeah. He hadn't had a drop of drink, and he's not beating his wife, and he's not, you know, he's doing all these wonderful things, you know. Man, something really happened to him. I don't know what it was, but something really happened. You know, you hear people, you've heard people talk like that.
Change.
Yeah, there's a change in the heart.
And think about this. They died. What they believe.
Yes.
You don't die for just anything. I mean, you would renounce real quick a lot of things, but they didn't. That was proof of salvation.
That was proof that
they would be martyred and have a higher
crown. Willing to die for it.
In heaven, yes. And everything. Willing to die and receive the greater rewards.
They knew.
They knew.
It wasn't a, I hope. They knew.
They knew.
They had the Holy Spirit with them.
Yes.
They had seen the work of God in their own lives. Okay, it wasn't just seeing it in the work lives of some, you know, yeah. Peter or John or Paul. They saw it in their own lives.
Amen.
And they got this even when they were carnal. Even when they were babes in Christ. Mm-hmm. Right? The First Corinthian church was carnal.
Yes.
They was a babe in Christ. They were babes. They needed milk. But they were what? They were active in all the gifts.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Right? They were active in all the gifts. Yeah. Among all the churches, they were active. That's pretty cool, isn't it? That's pretty cool. This manifestation of the Spirit was their seal.
Yeah.
This manifestation. How did Peter, when he went to Cornelius, remember the Roman centurion? Sent for Peter, said, come and talk to us. He didn't even know what he was going to talk to him about. He just had an angel tell him, go send for Peter. Yeah, so he sent some guys. Peter came. Peter spoke to them. Before he could get to the invitation, they started speaking in tongues.
The Holy Ghost fell on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, how did he know that they had become Christians?
Because they gave the same gift they gave us on
Pentecost. That's right.
What they said.
They spoke in tongues. They saw the manifestation of the Holy Spirit within them.
Mm-hmm.
They saw that manifestation, and Peter recognized it and said,
the same way they got it.
They got the same Holy Spirit we got.
I can't forbid them.
You can't forbid water to baptize these folks. We got, you know? He saw the Holy Spirit. He saw the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And that's how people know.
And you know, Peter didn't have to touch it out. Just from him speaking the word, it fell on them. And Peter said, my God, that's the way we got it up in the upper room. Nobody's laid hands on it. It just fell on us, you know? Yeah. And he said, whoa, I can't forbid. You know, what Jesus had dealt with him, he didn't quite understand about eating things that are unclean and stuff like that. It came to him. He said, oh, that's what Jesus was talking to me about, the dream, the trance, the vision I had before I got here. And I can't forbid. He accept him. I have to accept him too. But he had problems with the other ones that thought they had the...
When Philip went to Samaria.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? And he was preaching to them in Samaria. Mm-hmm. And they started getting saved.
And what else did they do?
Philip was doing all kinds of signs and wonders. Mm-hmm. And they were... Wow, you know, all these signs and wonders. But what happened? What happened? They were getting saved, right? Mm-hmm. Philip was doing signs and wonders, but something was missing. So when the apostles heard what was going on in Samaria, they stopped what they were doing. Mm-hmm. All right? And they went to Samaria. Remember how important what they were doing was? Because they wouldn't even stop to wait tables. Right? Mm-hmm. They said, look, what we're doing, we got to devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. Mm-hmm. This is important,
good, right?
This is important. Whoa. But when they heard what was going on in Samaria, they sent at least a couple of apostles up there, right? Out to Samaria where Philip was to do what?
To receive the Holy Ghost.
They didn't come to preach. They didn't come to teach. They came to do what?
Baptize them the Holy Ghost.
Give them the Holy Ghost. So they could receive the Holy Ghost, because that is essential.
Amen.
That is essential. That's our seal of our salvation.
Yes.
Bible study is important. Man, can't fault me on that. I love to get into Bible. I love that. Because that's how the Holy Spirit can speak to me.
Amen.
That's the way the Holy Spirit can speak to me.
Yes.
Right?
And you know, Ray, those people start burning their books, the sorcery books and all that. So you know they would change, you know. They start burning their books. They just start, I mean, nobody told them you got to burn your book. They're like, hey, we got
hey, we got something greater now. We don't need these books, you know.
That's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, a manifestation of a changed heart.
Yes.
Right?
That is a manifestation. That's right. So we look for those manifestations, and we want to take that new convert or anyone who's having any kind of problems. Am I sure that I'm saved? I got doubts. Right? I got doubts. Okay. Well, let's deal with the spiritual issue you've got. Because that doubt in your mind wouldn't bother you. You know, the thoughts that the enemy's planning in your mind wouldn't bother you if you had something to combat those thoughts with. Right? Mm-hmm. And so if you could pull up on a manifestation of the Holy Spirit whenever this comes along, you wouldn't have that problem, would you? Mm-hmm. You start doubting your mind, start speaking in tongues. Mm-hmm. Start praying in tongues. Mm-hmm. You see what happens?
Build you up.
You're praying in tongues. The very act of praying in tongues tell you what? You got the Holy Spirit. Because you can't do that by yourself.
That's good. I took
2 quarters of German in college. I can barely make my way through 2 sentences, you know, today. but man, I can speak in tongues like crazy.
Amen.
Yeah, I can just pray and I don't even have to think about it. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not me. That's not me doing that. Mm-hmm. Who's doing that? The Holy Spirit's doing that. Amen? All right. So if you ever run into someone who's doubting their salvation, say, hey, okay, well, pray in tongues a while. Pray in tongues? I've never done that. Well, we can fix that too. Right?
That's good.
Yeah. We can fix that too. Amen? All right. Well, let's pray because we've run out of time. All right. Father, we thank you so much that you love us and give us your Holy Spirit. The seal of our salvation. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is with us. Jesus is with us.
Amen.
And that's, we know that because of the Holy Spirit within us. He manifests himself through us.
Yes.
And we thank you for that, Father. Father, we thank you so much for the food that we have to eat, to partake of.
Yes.
We thank you for all those that work together to get it all done. We thank you for the fellowship that we have. And we encourage, we want to build up one another. We speak peace. We speak shalom to one another. So we can walk in peace. We can walk in comfort.
Yes.
We can walk in victory, Father, over the enemy in all things.
Hallelujah.
Father, bless us with the health that you have promised us. Bless us with the wealth that you've promised us. Let us know the provision that we have in heaven just waiting for us. At our request.
Jesus.
Father, go with us today. Bless every leader over us. Our pastors, our governors, our president, our lawmakers, our judges. Bless them. Give them your wisdom, Father, and work in their lives as you work in ours. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, that was good right there.
Tell Mittens.
Mittens, that's my cat. Tell Muffins, we love her and we miss her. We
okay.
Her.
Hopefully she'll be back next week.
Don't tell her. Well, Mittens is a fine cat, by the way. Jeannie's cat.